Welcome to Module 9, Left Thumb. But before we get into the left thumb, let me say a few words about thumbs, because that's what Module 9 and 10 will be about. Thumbs are powerful. Ooh, they are so powerful. So, thumbs are about will. So, some general ideas about thumbs. They are about imposing our will in a certain way in the world. So there is this big conversation that happens for humans. Is there divine will, or do we have free will? Is there a preconceived purpose that I'm here to live, or do I have free will about it? This whole conversation is as long as humanity has ever started thinking, pondering deeper thoughts, I think. And I don't know that anybody has an answer that answers it in a defined, definite way. Through the lens of hand analysis, what I have learned is that both are true. There is the divine will, there is the preconceived purpose, a way that we came here to express ourselves, and we have a personal will. So just because something is intended for us at the soul level doesn't mean it was going to happen. Just because I am destined for something, it doesn't mean that it is guaranteed. Just because I have a unique purpose that supports humanity doesn't mean I'm going to fulfill it or fulfill it in some grandiose way that most people think they have to fulfill it in order for it to count. Just because prosperity is birthright doesn't mean that I will be prosperous in all ways available to me. It's all up to me. And that's where the free will comes in. So, thumbs, and I'll just address both at the same time, left and right thumb. Both thumbs are about imposing will. On the shadow side, they are about this bully energy. I impose my will, meaning I push and I crush. And I overpower and I knock everything over on my way to creating what I want to create. So even this whole the phrase, she has him under her thumb, or he is under his thumb, right? In so many different situations, I'm sure you've heard it before. They're under a thumb, right? Somebody else's thumb. That means that somebody else squashes this person, somebody else is imposing their will on this person. And this person is willingly, and maybe not, they don't like it, but they still allow for that will to be imposed on them. So thumbs are very, very powerful when it comes to manifesting and taking everything that we have walked through, beginning from module one and index fingers through middle fingers, through ring fingers, through pinky fingers. When it comes together is with the thumb. So will I actually take everything that I am and command it in the world, or will I be the victim of what's going on? So this is about, like, in the prints, right? For example, when somebody prints their thumb, hello, and it prints very, very thin, I know immediately that person has very little personal will. They are meek, they are timid, they are cautious with their energy and their power and what is available to them, and imposing their will in the world. If somebody has a very well-defined thumb, like I look at this print and it's all thumb, big, clear, bigger even than the hand should, because there could be like a disproportionately bigger thumb. I look at this print and I'm like, oh, this is a bully energy. This person might not necessarily come across as a bully, but they definitely are very willful. So let me say more about will. When we grow up, there is this phrase that I've heard used with children, a very willful child. That means that they want something and they won't stop until they get it, right? Very willful. It's tough to redirect them. They are stubborn. They will focus on something and not let go, whether it serves them or not. So there is definitely this like connotation about will that's not serving, that is kind of like a negative about will. Will, however, is what, again, gives us that access to creating what it is that we are here to create. It doesn't get created until I actually impose my will on the energetic field and command it to creation. If I am meek about it, if I am waiting and hoping, if I am just, you know, meditating, but not imposing my will through committed aligned action in the world, nothing will happen, right? So when we are talking, and there will be very clear differences between left and right thumb, but thumbs in general are about, how am I willing to show up in the world? Am I willing to show up as a whole powerful me as I was intended to be? Or am I going to be timid, meek, questioning, not taking risks? Or am I also going to be on the other side of it, right? So the shadow side, am I going to be, because the timid and meek is the shadow side. So is a bully energy, right? Like running through people to create what I want. That's a shadow energy too. In between, there is the mastery, where I am willfully imposing my will on the energetic field intentionally, but also knowing that there are other people I am co-creating with, and knowing that there are conditions that I have that I get to play with. So this is what we're going to dive into with both left and right thumb. One more thing that I want to say about thumbs in general is that thumbs indicate our capacity to hold something. So for example, if you want to play with it right now, if you spread out your hands, like put your hands up in front of yourself, palms away from you, so as if you were looking at your freshly done nails. If you get your nails done, if you're looking at your freshly done nails, or maybe you have a ring on your finger and you don't want to look at your finger, you kind of extend your hands out in front of you. And now I want you to notice, is your thumb close to your hand, or is it spread out wide? Is it close to your hand, or is it spread out wide? Just naturally where it lands. Is it far out, spread out, or is it close to the hand? That angle of close to hand or spread out wide indicates the capacity with which we are operating at this moment. This is not a sentence. It's not a life sentence. This is absolutely something one can work with. I've worked with mine very diligently and continue to. If your thumbs are spread out wide, just naturally, I mean, if you're probably knowing this, you'll probably can just spread your thumbs and see how far are they willing to go away from the rest of the hand. Like fend them out and see how far they'll go, leaning away from the hand. The farther they lean away from the hand, the bigger your capacity. For example, your thumb, if it's at the 45 degrees to your index finger, you are at the CEO capacity, whether you're personal or in the world, business and other life, you have a big capacity. Now, if you hold your thumb naturally, let's say your thumb does spread out really wide, but naturally you hold it really close to your hand. That means you have potential for capacity, but you are not using it. The story you might be living with right now is, it's too much. I'm overwhelmed. I don't want to handle anymore. Whatever your story is, it's like, I don't have time for this, or it's taking too much out of me. I need to rest now. By the way, I need to rest now. Sometimes it's true, most often it's not. Most often it's how we sell out on our ability to create and our capacity. So thumbs indicate our ability to hold more space for something. If you're asking your business to make $1 million, but you're holding your thumbs, you're pretending that you constantly are in a conversation of overwhelm. Let's say it's not a million. Sometimes people are like, I can't even imagine a million. Let's say you're starting a business, or you're somewhere in your business and you want to, let's say, even double your income, or maybe increase it by 10%. But you hold your thumbs, you hold your thumbs close to your hand, and you're in a conversation of, I'm already so overwhelmed. Oh my God, this takes so much. Oh my God, I'm exhausted. Guess what? You will get zilch. You are barely holding space for what you are already creating. You are already in a victim about what it is you are creating, you're getting nothing more than you already can handle. Because, and it's not because there is outside of you some kind of a deity that watches your capacity and says, okay, I'll give you a little more. It's literally just you. It's literally you not desiring, not wanting to, not willing to stretch into bigger capacity, which then keeps you where you are. People who don't want to make, who want to make more money, but are in a conversation of, I am already so taxed, I don't know how else I'm going to add anything else, and stop there instead of asking, who is the coach I can hire? What is support I can request? What is it that I can, what kind of support do I need to call into my and accept in my life, in my business? Those people who stop it, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm so exhausted, oh my God, there's so already so much on my plate. Those are the people that will never create anymore until they are willing to ask, how else can I hold space for more? How else can I hold space for more? So guess what? When your thumb is very, very close to your hand, we have a name for it. Don't get offended if you fall into this category. We just call it that way because it is a really powerful example. If your thumb is close to your hand, naturally, you are an employee. You are at an employee capacity. What's an employee capacity? Employee capacity is somebody who does what they are told to do, no more. Somebody who does what they are told to do and no more. This is somebody who checks the box and leaves. This is somebody who will do just enough to not get fired. Let's take it into a personal life. This is somebody who will put themselves on a stretch about their health and do bare minimum exercise to keep themselves on track. Bare minimum. I have a rule actually that whenever I exercise and I do reps, I always do one extra rep. So imagine every single day doing one extra rep. Like I'm doing jumping jacks and I am at 100 jumping jacks. I'll push myself to 10 more. And the next day I may feel a little, you know, underwater. I will do one more. But I always do more than I did a day before, even if it's just one rep. And that's just the way that I play with myself to create and cultivate a mindset of I'm capable to hold space for more, no matter what my mind tells me. So this is just a quick way to know where is my capacity. Like, let's say you are like, I cannot imagine adding any more friends to my repertoire because I'm already so taxed out. People, energy, oh my God, people just puke their energy all over me. I can't be around a lot more people. Guess what? That is probably you holding your thumb really close to your hand, protecting yourself instead of being in a different conversation. How else can I stretch into if you want more friends, which I always think it's amazing to have people in life. Everything that we want comes to us through people. So why not be connected to more people? So if you are in a conversation of overwhelm anywhere in your life, first of all, it's a choice. You are choosing to be overwhelmed. I will not accept any less. I will not accept any excuse. I will not accept, just so you know, overwhelm is a choice. Overwhelm is also looking too far out with yesterday's mindset, too far out into the future with yesterday's mindset, looking at your whole entire schedule for July saying, oh my God, how is this all going to happen, versus being where you are right now and asking yourself, how can I stretch myself today to increase my capacity? So all of this conversation to say that we are going to dive into left thumb in just a minute, but I wanted you to have an idea of what thumbs are to begin with. They're really, really powerful. Thumb is actually the only finger that doesn't, like, if you take your thumb, see if you can stretch your thumb all the way to the bottom of your, this like meaty palm. Okay, so let me be clearer about this. Now take your palm, face it towards you so you can see the lines on your hand. On the bottom right hand corner, you have this meaty part of your hand. If you've been around me, you might heard me refer to it as the moon zone. So it's that meaty, fleshy part of your hand that's in the right bottom corner. Okay. Try to stretch your thumb to touch that area. Try to do that. I've tried with myself and with many people, and I've met one person who could barely touch the top of it. I can tell you I can't. And most of the people that I've played with this couldn't touch that area. So what does it tell us through the lens of hand analysis? Thumb is the only energy that does not pollute the intuitive zone. Think about that, because that's what this fleshy area represents. It's the moon zone, it's intuition, it's connection with the divine. One of the places, but that's what it represents, right? And thumb is the only finger, like the index finger can't really touch it too well, but if you stretch it, it could. Thumb is the one that completely is separated and is the farthest from that meaty moon zone. So when you think about it through the lens of hand analysis, will is not at all directed by the intuition, nor does it pollute the intuition. Meaning it is completely separate, and it is a culmination of all the other fingers in action out in the world. Thumb also comes out of the part of the hand where the feminine and masculine meet. So where the thumb begins on your hand is the area of the feminine and masculine. So the will comes out of the merging of feminine and masculine. Isn't it fascinating? So the way that we play with feminine and masculine will absolutely affect how we play with our will. So many things about thumb, so many things. Also, when we check for somebody's quality of throat chakra, we check it on a thumb. There is an area on a thumb that dictates the quality of our throat chakra in the moment. And it's actually on the thumb. Even though the other fingers have the throat chakra on them, this zone we call the throat chakra, we go to the thumb to specifically identify any leaks, energetic leaks in our fifth chakra, throat chakra, in our ability to communicate clearly our needs, our desires. Isn't that fascinating? Okay, so let me get into left thumb. Alrighty, left thumb. Left thumb is the matriarch or the patriarch if you are a man, but I'm going to focus on matriarch just for the purpose of this communication. But just so you know, it's also a patriarch. Now, what does it mean? On the master path, this is somebody who is successful in family, community, and tribe. They have a connection, a deep, powerful connection with their family, community, and tribe. I use those three words. Why? Because technically a matriarch could be somebody who is representing that archetype in a family. And that's really where we begin to focus on looking at this energy. And when we get into shadow, we'll talk about it through the lens of a blood family, family of origin. However, somebody doesn't have to choose to be deeply connected with their family of origin in order to fulfill on the master path of this energy. They could choose to fulfill this role in a community, in a tribe, in a circle. So I will refer to it as a community, family, community, tribe for the purpose of the master path. But just so you know, it's all the same. This is somebody who has a positive on a master path, positive self-image within their family. They feel like they are respected. They know that they belong. They know that they have a voice and this voice is heard. Their family relationships are warm, connected, delightful. They feel like their family respects their choices and respects who they are. Matriarch, they even seek direction and support from this person, the family will. This is somebody who likes being part of a family, community, and tribe. They embrace and seek being part of a family, community, tribe. They are even seen as glue, the one that brings the family together. The party doesn't start until this person shows up, right? The gathering doesn't feel complete until this person shows up. Why? Not because they come in and start telling the jokes, right? That everybody starts laughing. It's because of the energy that they are reflecting in this family, community, tribe. When they show up, it feels like the there is unity, there is coming together. This may also look like at some point taking on the leadership role in a new family or community. So it isn't just being a part of. This is at some point choosing to be a leader, a matriarch, right? I will never forget, there was this one woman who, when we were learning hand analysis, she's like, you know, I'm part of this networking group for women, business women. And there is this woman, she's elderly. She holds a certain seat in the room. They meet in the same room. She has this like chair. She sits in this chair and it's an elaborate chair, like a queen almost. And she's warm and loving, but she's always swarmed by people coming to her, asking her advice. Everybody will be buzzing around, connecting, mingling. And as soon as they see an opportunity, they run to her, sometimes even waiting their turn, to ask about what's going on in their life. So ask about what advice on what this person thinks. So on a mastery path, we're taking on being willing to be that person. This is also about feeling at home with yourself, self-care, being willing to take care of yourself as a matriarch or patriarch, being willing to take care of yourself, being willing to feel at home with yourself, being willing to be engaged in personal growth and grow yourself, being willing to claim your belonging. So I'll get into the shadow part in a moment, but on the master path, and of course I want to give you the contrast really quickly, but let me just stay on the master path. On the master path, this is somebody who just claims, I belong to this community, I belong to this tribe, I belong to this family. Very often on the shadow part side, we tend to wait to be asked. We tend to wait to be affirmed. That we belong. We want to be told, we wait to be told that we belong. And on the mastery side, we just claim that I belong to this community. I am a part of this family and I choose it, of course, if you do. This is also about feeling safe in a family, community, and tribe, and knowing that it's not your family's job to make you feel safe. It is not your family's job to make you feel safe. It is your own responsibility to create your own sense of safety. But at the same token, to have enough strength, wisdom to leave an abusive situation. So let's say you were born into a situation or a family that absolutely does not support your growth, your personal development, you're striving for more, to be more in the world, who you just see no matter what you do or say, they always look down on you or they criticize you or downright abuse you in some way, emotional, verbal, physical, whatever it looks like. On the master path, this is taking responsibility for leaving that tribe, community, or family. I know many people who venture into personal growth development and they realize that their family is toxic. And maybe at first they try to make some changes, introduce some new ideas. And when they realize that this is absolutely detrimental, they separate and they choose to no longer communicate with their family, or maybe communicate, you know, once a month, stay in connection, but not like they usually do, which is, you know, some people are very clingy. If you have this, I mean, if you have this as part of your lesson or purpose, you may be very clingy, like you may be very needy and feel like you are afraid to separate from your family because it gives you a sense of belonging, but it's a false sense of belonging because as soon as you start doing the work, you realize they could be really good people and well-meaning, but they're very toxic. I know, I'll share with you my own story with this, but I'll bring up somebody that I know who actually at some point when she realized that a lot of her health issues had to do with how toxic her family was, she said to her family, please never call me or email me. Do not reach out to me. If you urgently need to communicate anything with me, send me a letter. She literally told her family, until things shift or change, until I fully heal myself and I'm willing to come back into communication, if there is an emergency, send me a letter in the mail. They can otherwise no longer communicate with her in any other way. Social media, email, text, phone call, none of it. None of it. But she came from a very abusive background. Very, very abusive background. So that's a drastic example, but I'll tell you my example. I love my family. They're amazing people, and they're just, I love them. But none of them are willing, and this is my closest family, none of them are willing to do the work to see things differently. They are committed to a scarcity and fear thinking. And I know that every single time I talk to them, it's like it triggers so much in me that I have to spend all this time pedaling forward again. And I feel like it takes me back. That's my experience of it. So I limit my communication with my family. I will text them at least once a week, but I don't get on a phone with my mom as often as I used to. I used to, before I started doing the work, I had to see my family once a week. I had this like unspoken agreement. I learned it because that's what I observed. I have to communicate with my family and see them once a week. I have to see them once a week and I have to communicate with them somehow every day. Well, so it became a text. I wouldn't call them, but a text at least. And then as the time went on and I realized how much it was influencing all the work I was doing on shifting and transmuting and transforming my patterns, I said, you know what? I don't need to do that. They're fine without me as long as I stay in some kind of communication, right? So they hear from me once a week. That's my commitment. And usually it's a text. And then I am committed that every 2 to 3 weeks, I try not to go longer than 3 weeks, I will dial my mom or my dad, my brother, and I have a call. And it's usually a call about things that I know won't trigger me. Once in a while, of course, we get into a deeper, meaningful conversation where I prepare myself for what I'm going into. But this is just another example on how on the mastery path, we begin to create those boundaries around what serves me within my family, community, and tribe. Okay, so let me see if there is anything else that I want to add as far as master path. Oh, okay. So let's say that you realize that your family, your community, your tribe, whatever it is that you are connected to, doesn't serve you. And connection with them doesn't serve you. And it's downright toxic. There is a need on a mastery path. It's a healthy need to be a part of a community, a family, or a tribe. Even if it means creating your own, there is a need, a very healthy need to be part of a community, family, community, and tribe. So if your blood connection or the family you were raised with is not what is fulfilling for you, the healthy connection to tribe, community, family, then you are responsible for creating a new tribe, community, family, or becoming part of a new one so you can have that experience. Okay, so it's your responsibility. And again, claiming your space in it, claiming your role in it, claiming your role in it. And this doesn't have to be done through a bully-like energy. Move over, everybody. I'm part of this family now. No, this is done with love. This is done with enrolling energy, with enrollment, loving energy that says, I would like to belong and I claim my space in this family by being a part of it in whatever way it looks like. Or creating your own from scratch. Okay, so that's a mastery path. On the student path, I know you're waiting for this one. On the student path, this is a sense, a feeling of this connection. So I say a sense of because you could be a part of a family and they could be accepting you, but your feeling is still this connection and like you're not part of it. So it is all about your perception of it, right? Your family could be very loving and accepting you and you still might constantly be in a space, an experience of I'm disconnected, I'm not part of them, they don't love me, they don't respect me. So it really is about your perception of it. On the shadow side, it is a perception of being a black sheep. So on the shadow side, we call this lesson a black sheep. So just like there was a matriarch title to the mastery. On the shadow side, on the lesson side, it's a black sheep. Black sheep means I don't belong. And it could literally be your experience that you are very different, that you don't belong, even if your family doesn't see you that way. I know that's my experience. My family absolutely feels like I belong. Yeah, I'm different than them. I definitely strayed away from the trajectory on which, you know, everybody else in my family is. However, they don't call me black sheep. They don't tell me I don't belong. They absolutely don't look sideways at me for what I do, for what I choose. But I very often feel like I'm a black sheep. It's my experience of it. So remember, and this could be your family of origin, your blood family, your family of origin, or it could be part of a community that you belong to, sort of, because you don't feel like you do. Like you are inserted in it. At some point you said, oh, okay, I want to be part of it. But then you constantly live with a sense of, I don't belong here. I am not accepted here. I am disconnected from this tribe community, from this family. Okay, so this is the shadow side. On the shadow side, it's a lack of self-esteem. Lack of self-esteem. Esteem is how I see myself. Do I respect myself? Do I see myself as a valuable human being in humanity? And it will be in this family, community, and tribe. On the shadow side, I do not. On a shadow side, I lack self-esteem. On the shadow side, it could also be challenging relationships with a family. So like I was talking about earlier, I mentioned it in when I was talking about mastery, this absolutely could be that your family doesn't want you to be a part of it. They're like, how are you even part of this family? And they actually mean it, right? So cold or distant, challenging relationships with a family, isolation from a community. So this is not choosing to not be a part of a community. And you could have a conversation of like, oh, I just can't find a community that fits me, or, oh, I don't know where I belong and I just haven't found my tribe. Very often, most often in my experience, is our lack of willingness to be a part of a community that we hide behind. I just haven't found my tribe. I just haven't found my community. It's actually choosing to not be part of a community. It's being isolated, choosing to staying isolated from a community. This is also on the shadow side, moving away from the family, even if they do accept you and love you. It's choosing to move away because of the story that you have. Because of a story that you have. I'm a black sheep. No, they don't love me. They don't understand me. And if they are toxic, if it isn't healthy for you to be a part of this family, tribe, community, you move away from them. On the shadow side, you don't create new one. You just stay isolated. On the shadow side, this is feeling like you are an outcast. Like you want to belong, but you just don't know how. You want to belong, but you just don't know how to belong. So you feel like an outcast. On the shadow side, this is also not knowing how to include yourself. So again, you could be in a conversation of, oh, I just don't know. I just haven't found my community. I just can't find my tribe. I don't feel like I belong anywhere. But that's also because you don't know how to include yourself. You don't know how to belong. You don't know how to make yourself be a part of it. And you don't know how to claim your space in this family, tribe, community. This is also waiting for somebody. So this is a classic, again, on the shadow side, waiting for somebody to call you in instead of asserting your desire to be a part of. Waiting for somebody to call you in, to invite you, instead of asserting your desire to be a part of a tribe, community, family. This is about on the shadow side, so think about the will energy that I was talking about. So on a shadow side, you may either feel like you don't belong and just keep yourself away from it, or you may bully your way into a tribe, family, community. So just like I was talking about the will energy and the bully energy or the meek energy, this is exactly how it will show up in a family. Either you are meek about your desire to be a part of family, tribe, community, or you will bully your way into it. You will insert yourself but you will insert yourself with a forceful energy of like, let me in, pushing with your elbows, right? I'm being funny with a visual, just pushing people with your elbows and being like, let me in, I want to be part of this, instead of finding a way to make yourself be a part of it. So in conclusion, on left thumb, in conclusion, on a master side, you are a matriarch and you claim that you belong and you claim with love and you feel like you self-esteem, right? Like if I feel like I have a healthy self-esteem, I will just belong, choose a community or my blood family and find a way to belong in a way that is in harmony. Or on the master side, because it's all about family, community, and belonging and co-creating and with a community, with other people. I will, on the mastery side, feel good about myself and make space for myself, Garen, and have high self-esteem. I will feel at home with myself. I don't need somebody to make a home for me to make me feel safe or keep me safe. I will feel safe in my home, and thus I will create a way for me to feel safe in a family, tribe, or community, or leave the one that's literally not safe and create another one. On the mastery side, I will make up and pretend that I don't belong, that I'm an outcast, or be an outcast, choose out, and never find another family, community, tribe to belong to. So this speaks to no man is an island, meaning we are not meant to be a solitude, solitary beings. No human being is meant to be solitary. And everybody who has a conversation about, oh my God, people tax me, crowds tax me. It's about being in an inquiry. What's my way of inserting myself into community? Into humanity. What do you think? Okay, this is a little bit of a conspiracy theory, but so often I think, and I've had these conversations with other thought leaders in my space, how this whole idea of isolation in COVID, how damaging it was to a human psyche. Why? Because humans are not meant to be alone. They are not meant to be isolated. I mean, in prisons, it's one of the biggest punishments, except for death, of course, is isolation cell, where they put you in a dark hole by yourself. So you have complete sense of loss of time and space, but you have zero connection of human with another human. That's like one of the most severe punishments. Why? Because it inflicts such, I mean, it literally is a punishment. Because at the core, we are meant to be part of a community, family, or tribe, and we are meant to feel like we belong and assert ourselves in belonging to it. And if the one that we were by default made a part of doesn't work, then we are obligated to find another one, create another one, and assert lovingly, claim and esteem our space in that family, community, tribe that we desire to be a part of. So look at the lens of how have you lived your life? Have you isolated yourself on purpose because of some conversation that you haven't found a tribe or your community? And knowing what I just shared, have you actually been pretending that that's true by saying you haven't found one? And maybe that's the case. You just haven't found the community tribe, but have you even tried? Have you even tried? And are you waiting to be invited? Or do you go to a party and I just kind of like wait for people to insert you? Or do you insert yourself lovingly, powerfully, confidently, but also giving space to others and the dynamic of the community? Or do you create a new one? If you can't find one you belong to, create it. So start asking yourself these questions and look at how deeply it is connected to your self-esteem, your self-view, your ability to accept that you are here to be part or a leader of a community or a leader of a community. Okay, so here is about left thumb. I'm really looking forward to hear what opens up for you through this lens, through this inquiry, and what you discover about how have you been, what has gotten in a way, and maybe make some new choices from now on. All righty, that's it for now. Wave that left thumb. Give yourself thumb up. And begin to make new choices when it comes to your family, community, and tribe. Bye for now.